AM 560 KBLU. Russ Clark with you. It's a Wednesday morning, 7:28. Mel's in studio, but I'm not going to talk to you, Mel. So I'm going to have Bill O'Reilly on the phone if he's there yet. Well, yeah.
That's Bill on the line.
Okay. Yeah, he'll be on very shortly. But I know that Bill O'Reilly is out promoting the book, Killing the Mob. And Mel, I don't know if have you read any of the Killing books? You have not. Okay. Well, we need to work on you for sure. But I think I have three of them here in this office. I haven't read all 10, though. I've got work to do. We're going to get working on that. And I honestly, Mel, I haven't read the entire Killing the Mob. I read a lot of it, but, you know, just trying to get ready for today. But in fact, I called my ex-wife this morning to talk about Bill O'Reilly because we used to watch him together all the time for many years.
Yeah.
Many years we would get
Bill
up.
O'Reilly and, factor.
That's exactly right. And she cautioned me today, Mel. She said, "Watch yourself, Russ, because you're going to be in the no spin zone." Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. Does he bring that with him? I have no idea. I'm sure we'll find out real shortly. But some of the issues, I hope, I don't know how much time I get, but I hope we get to talk about some of the border issues and his take on that, as well as some of the distractions right now. We've got, and I know he's written books on President Trump and all, but President Trump's been out of the headlines a lot. I mean, he's been a little bit, but they're trying to squeeze him back in.
Yeah.
I think they need some distractions other than just take your mask off.
Yeah, well, that's it. They're looking for somebody to attack.
So the New York Attorney General has helped out and is talking about charges of criminal capacity going against that. And I think is that a distraction for Biden or a distraction for Cuomo? Which one?
Cuomo's still not out of the woods, I don't think.
Yeah. We shall see when that, but also the border issues, and I know he's written on that a lot, and that doesn't show any signs of changing anything.
No,
not at all. Now, I don't have Bill O'Reilly on yet, do I?
Yes, you do.
He's on? He's here? Oh, no, you're...
Yes, he is.
Hey Russ, I'm enjoying the show, man.
Oh, I didn't realize you were already there, sir. My apologies.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the show. You tell your ex-wife, I still am bringing the no spin zone. So,
well, she cautioned me I might be in, and I have to watch myself because you might call me on it real fast. And I'm sure that's the case. Hey, Killing the Mob, and I stayed up last night and read as much as I could. Excellent. Again, not a surprise to me, and I'm a big fan of the Killing books, by the way.
Thank you.
I have not read them all, and I didn't realize it until I read that there were 10 of them.
Yeah, the best-selling nonfiction book series of all time, 18 million copies in print. Killing the Mob breaks number one Sunday on the New York Times list,
yeah. So
we're real happy with that, and I think anybody reading Killing the Mob will have fun reading it and learn a lot. I hope you did.
I did. My favorite was Lincoln. I'm a Lincoln fan, but I haven't read them all. I guess I have to go back. But I found Killing the Mob intriguing. I'm not working on much sleep right now, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I keep people up. Good. Now you're much smarter than you were yesterday.
Okay. Well,
you're much smarter now.
I appreciate that. Hey, some of the issues I brought up, and I don't know how much time you've got, but on the New York Attorney General bringing criminal charges against President Trump, a smokescreen to get attention away, or are they serious about that?
Well, it's no charges. I mean, she just said we're investigating the Trump Organization for possible violations of the criminal code in New York. So it's a political thing. I mean, the attorney general here is a far-left person. She's also investigating Andrew Cuomo, the governor, not for the same thing, but, you know, trying to put together some kind of criminal case. Now, it'd be unfair of me to analyze stuff I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they have, but I know who Letitia James is.
Yes.
You know, she wants to be the next governor. So Cuomo, he's in a spot because she'd be happy to see him get blown up. And she doesn't like Trump. Nobody here in New York, in the elected capacity, it's like California. It's a very blue state. And if they could get Trump, that helps them politically. So, you know, this certainly is a political investigation. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Critical race theory and social justice, I mean, those have been pushed very hard right now. But there's starting to be a little bit of a backlash. And I know you've written that on the Black Lives Matter and stuff. I guess I'm concerned, like most Americans, about society, and the right doesn't seem to stand up enough. Do we have a chance of getting back to honest conversation?
Not in the near future.
Okay.
But there is a backlash against the woke generation, and my commentary today on the radio is about the critical race theory and how the corporate media is promoting that. So if you just boil it down and you look at what they're trying to do here, it's like all Caucasians are bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Yeah. Isn't that racist? I think it is. Maybe, you know. So the whole thing, people are starting to catch on now that this is not improving their lives or the country. And where I live in New York, which, again, is a very blue state, this Black Lives Matter thing, there's a backlash against them. They used to see the signs. They used to have the marches. They don't, not anymore here on Long Island. No.
Oh.
They're not, Black Lives Matter, not real popular anymore here.
Well,
and so I think people are starting to catch on that this is, they're grifters. And, you know, they're amassing millions of dollars buying homes in Topanga Canyon, you know, okay. So that hurt them. But that's the reality.
So you say corporations are, you know, becoming woke and all that. I don't think it's a voluntary thing. I think there's some extortion going on with those corporations that bought into this stuff.
I'd have to see the evidence of that.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do. I mean, I don't guess. So I don't, what my analysis is, and remember, I know a lot of these people personally that run these media corporations. So we're talking Disney, AT&T, Comcast, Viacom. They own all of the big network and cable apparatus that distribute information. Well, those people, they socialize, they want to hang around with the Hollywood people, they want to hang around with LeBron. You know, that's their set. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And their lives are built around that. So they are, you know, they're in up to their eyebrows with the woke and the cancel culture, and they're pushing it, and they're going to get hurt. Disney is the best example. I mean, Disney is forcing its park employees to listen to this CRT, this critical race theory.
Yes.
What's next? You're going to ban white people from going to the park? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're all evil, well, should we be associating with Mickey and Donald if we're evil people?
Maybe.
You know, and this is Disney running ABC.
Yeah.
So quick, Russ. Name one conservative voice on ABC.
I don't know one.
There isn't any.
Okay, good. I passed the test, Mel.
So it's a whole media empire.
Yeah.
Now, you might make an argument, Meghan McCain on The View, but, you know, she's more of a... Yeah, I wouldn't say she's a conservative.
No.
But that's the closest they come on Disney. So, I mean, that's pretty shocking. I worked for ABC for 2 years as a correspondent. It wasn't that way when I was there.
You were also an educator. And how do you feel about the recent trend to change the meanings of words like infrastructure, apartheid, fascism? I don't know what they mean anymore.
Well, I would never do that. I mean, an American shouldn't do that. If they want to call themselves them and it, fine. But I'm going to go by the standard English structure. My grammar is perfect, as anybody knows who listens to me on the radio or television.
We know.
And I taught high school for 2 years. That's where I developed the Killing Book style, because I taught in a ghetto school in Miami, Florida. And I had minority kids, and were in the majority in that school. And I had to get at the urchins interested in stuff they weren't really interested in, history. So I had to personalize it. I had to make it fun. I had to make it provocative. And I did.
Yeah.
And then I brought that technique to all of my killing books. And so that, you know, it's not boring history. It's fun to read, and you're learning a lot.
It definitely is. One more question on education. California right now, change in math class. They're going more equitable math. Racism is going to be mentioned in math, and taught white supremacy and exact answers are racist. I don't know. I don't understand it all. I've just been reading the articles, but I think this is destroying education.
Well, what California has decided to do is not have grades. So University of California last week said, we're not going to have any more SATs. When you apply to the system, all you have to show is your transcript from high school. You don't have to take any tests, standardized tests, because African-Americans don't do as well as Asian-Americans and Caucasian-Americans. Okay, so therefore, throwing that out. Next will be, in California, we're not going to have any grades in high school. We're just going to pass-fail. So if you show up, you either pass or you fail, but we're not going to go 92, 83, 74. We're not going to do that because it's racist.
And how are they going to determine pass and fail, though, Bill?
Well, a teacher would just put a P or an F next to the kid's name.
Based on
and
what?
And then the kid will, based on what the teacher thinks the kid knows.
I see.
You know, it's the same system, but it's not a numerical grade because that's racist. Just like if you can't add 45 and 87 together, it's not your fault. It's you had a slave ancestor, so you're not supposed to do math now.
In the long run, there's going to be everybody passes.
No, it's going to be equity. It's going to be, we don't want any standards of economics. We don't want any standards of academics in high school because that holds back African Americans primarily, because Hispanic Americans, they don't do badly in the standardized test.
Right.
They're a little bit below whites, but not a lot. But they're going to say, look, the system and the country is racist, so African Americans can't be expected to compete with everybody else, so we're just not going to knock it all out. And then if an African American applies to the University of California, Berkeley, we'll pretty much accept that African-American. That's what it's going to come down to.
Okay.
Wow. And education, though, is going to be hurt. I mean, we're dumbing down, are we not, America?
Well, the individual is going to be hurt. I mean, that's who's going to get hurt because they're not going to be pushed to achieve. I mean, America is all about achievement.
Yeah.
It's all about competition. It's all about the marketplace. But the socialists don't want that. They want guaranteed outcomes for everybody. So we all get this. That's what's being imposed. Everybody gets this. But you can't rise above that. Because if you do, you're racist. Because not everybody can do what you do.
Yep.
So my enterprise, I'm a racist because I sell 18 million books. You know, because everybody can't sell 18 million books. So why should you be able to, O'Reilly, you bad guy?
Yeah.
That's what the socialist thinking is. I think it's taken Americans a longer time to figure this out than it should, but they are starting to figure it out.
Well, does that give us hope for 2024?
I don't know. I mean, the Republican Party is just so disorganized and their message is so muddled.
True.
I don't know. I mean, you would think. I mean, Biden's a disaster in his first 110 days. It's an absolute disaster. And this will interest your listeners, Russ.
Okay.
So who is the president that organized crime the mob likes the most?
I have no idea.
It'd have to be Joe Biden.
Oh, you mean currently, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because organized crime makes 80% of its money selling narcotics, distributing narcotics all over the United States, from Alaska to Key West. Every community's got fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine. It comes from organized crime, the mob.
Right.
And in killing the mob, I explain how all of this evolved. Anyway, that's where they make their money now. So, the drugs have to come here from Mexico. The Mexican drug cartels, which control that entire country down there. It's not like the Mexican government controls it. It doesn't. The cartels are the most powerful entity in Mexico.
Right.
They have an arrangement with American organized crime that they'll manufacture and smuggle the drugs into the United States, and then the mob here will take it and distribute it. That's the deal. That's why you don't see Mexican drug cartels setting up shop in Pima County. Because if they do, the American organized crime is not going to permit it.
Oh.
That's why you don't have that intrusion.
Well, I know the border's a disaster right now, and I know you've talked about it. But
that's why the mob loves Biden.
Yeah.
Because since Biden's been inaugurated, there are more than 500,000 foreign nationals that are crossing to the USA. 500,000 people.
Yeah.
Well, that takes every resource from the Border Patrol and ICE to process them, feed them, shelter them, put them on buses, send them back, whatever they do.
Yeah.
So drug interdiction has fallen apart.
It has. And there's a gag order. You know, you can't talk to a Border Patrol agent anymore. I mean, I haven't been able to for months.
Or photograph any migrant minors. So, Biden, if I were to say to Biden, if he were sitting here and I say, Mr. President, with all due respect, do you know why organized crime loves you? Do you understand why they love you? He wouldn't. He wouldn't have a blanking clue on what was happening. And when you have a president who doesn't understand the consequences of his actions, which Biden clearly doesn't, whether it's the economy, whether it's equity, whether it's the border, he doesn't understand what's going to happen when he does certain things. That's frightening to me.
I'm with you, and I think hopefully the rest of the country's starting to understand it, like you said. We can pray that happens. Sir, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. It's been a joy. I've enjoyed you for years. Enjoy the books. I'll finish Killing the Mob. Absolutely.
All right. And you'll tell everyone you know, Russ, what a great book it is.
That's a big responsibility, but count on it. We'll do that.
Everyone you know. And it's 115 degrees outside.
Yeah.
So just get the book, get the air conditioning, and that'll make your day, Killing the Mob.
I've got the homework assignment. We'll get her done. I appreciate
it,
sir.
Guys.
You take care.
Thanks for having me in.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great guy. We'll be right back. AM 560.